Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which should be the most important time of your week because we got the John and Wayne show, and I'm excited about today. We got a lot of fun stuff. We're going to be talking about 49ers sleepers for this year. We're going to be ranking our next segment of NFC West positional groups against each other. Wayne, how's life, my friend?
Life's good. Life's real good, man. Summertime is officially, it's here, right? June 21st, summer kicked off.
It don't feel like that in the Bay. I still got to put a jacket to go outside. So this is my first summer in the Bay. And it's a little chilly out, but it's nice. I was in Texas earlier. That was terrible.
I can imagine.
That was terrible.
Oh, man, it's good to be here, though. Shout out to everybody out there. Man, thanks for tuning in to the live show. We about to have some fun on today. I can't wait to get into these positions. And I'm curious to know who John's sleepers are.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, here's the thing that's kind of fun about the 49ers roster. We know who the studs are. Correct. They have the most. I mean, on both positions, basically at every single level, there's a stud O-lineman, there's stud back, there's stud wide receivers, stud D-lineman, stud linebacker, stud safety. Like, they have the guys at every level. But every year, it's a 53-man roster for a reason. And so I think that's what's important. So it's going to be fun to dive into this. We're going to give you 4 sleepers. Wayne's got 2. I've got 2. We're going to let that know. And I want to say thank you to 49ers Throwback as always. He says, thanks for tuning in, faithful. Make sure y'all smash that like button. Subscribe to both channels. The Wayne Breezy Show, if you haven't yet, on YouTube or wherever it is you watch and or listen. Go check that out. It is that dude, Madman. Hardest working man in show business, I swear. Every single time. Rob D, Breezy for president. Got my vote.
Appreciate it.
Got my
man.
Vote.
Thank you.
I love it. We even got Jax in the house. What's up, Jax?
Hey, Jax.
And Peachy Brown. That's what's up, man.
All right.
We're going to be having a good time, man. This is going to be fun. So let's get started. Let's start with Breezy's first sleeper. This is a player that is not getting the attention that they probably deserve for what they're going to accomplish in 2024. Not so much down the road, but this season, who are some guys that maybe need some more attention than perhaps what they're getting throughout the national media or just 49ers coverage in general?
So I'm going to start my first. He's a newbie. I'm going to give a newbie. And, you know, coming in as a free agent and having to fulfill, I would say, probably one of the most toughest positions and roles on the 49ers defense. Can you guess who I'm talking? You want to try to guess my player?
Oh, right. I'm like kind of stuck a little bit, but I'm thinking defensive end.
No.
I'm off. Campbell.
Devondre Campbell. That's the guy. Right. I'm going Devondre Campbell. Look, the All-Pro, former All-Pro, you know, All-Pro season in Green Bay. Not sure how he was utilized differently, but I feel like this young gentleman has a lot of football left. And, you know, he's got a new scenario, new scene, new opportunity, new outlook on life, new outlook on football. And I'm going to be honest. I know he may feel like he has to come in and replace Dre Greenlaw, but I don't think he needs to come in and replace Dre Greenlaw. He needs to come in and be Devondre Campbell. And then the Niners will go back to having that those three dominant linebackers, you know, while they can. And so I think Devondre Campbell is going to come out and have a tremendous season. He's going to help shore up the tackling from the linebacking position. He's pretty decent in coverage as well. So, you know, he can drop back and then you can utilize him on your base downs. And then when you go to your nickel, he's out there playing the Dre Greenlaw role. So I really like Devondre Campbell. I was actually happy for the signing and I actually like him over who's the other guy that signed and then reneged on us.
Yeah, Kendricks.
Kendricks. Michael Kendricks, right? Right.
Yeah.
I like him over. I like him over him. Kendricks, I don't believe, was ever an All-Pro, and Devondre Campbell knows what it takes. And then he's in the room with another All-Pro. And I'm sorry, like, when you're playing with Fred Warner, you want to outplay Fred Warner. Like, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of That's the juju I think that he needed. You know, let me come play with another All Pro so I can showcase and let everybody know I'm still that guy. So I like Devondre Campbell.
My favorite thing about Devondre Campbell is I feel like the 49ers defense is going to be twofold. There's the early season, probably the first half of the season. Then there's the second half of the season. And I feel like the second half of the season is where everything's going to kind of gel together. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's the 49ers offense carrying the way early. But once you get Dre Greenlaw back, once you get Talanoa Funga completely back and comfortable from that ACL, once you get that third cornerback position filled out, the D-line gels a little bit, you get all that stuff going, playoff 49ers defense, I'm pretty excited to see what it's going to be. But it could be a little bit of a rocky start just because there's so much transition taking place on that side of the ball. But, yeah, Devondre Campbell – If he balls out, then we're top five defense from the jump. If he struggles a little bit, we'll see how that goes. But I think you're spot on, Wayne, as always.
Appreciate that. So who's your first sleeper? Just curious to know.
It's the side of the ball, too. And okay. I kind of alluded that number three cornerback position. Everybody loves the draft picks, and I love Renardo Green. I think eventually he'll win that job, whether that's this year, next year, whenever. But early on, it's not going to be him. It's going to be a vet that they brought in. Isaac Yiadom. I think he is the almost, I don't want to say guaranteed, number three corner to start. But, man, if I was putting odds on it, I'm going to say 87% or better. I really do think that he's going to be the guy that's out there. The 49ers' favorite traits in corners is people that make it difficult to catch the ball. Last year, Justin, he was the third corner for the Saints last year. He had 14 pass breakups. That would have been second best on the 49ers. That's four more than Demo had last year. Like, he has come on and shown he can thrive in this certain role, that number three corner. Well, look, if there's two corners, it's going to be Demo and Charvarius Ward. But that number three spot, Ambry Thomas doesn't have 14 pass breakups his entire career. Like, no. I think Yotam has kind of peaked at the right time, and I'm hoping he can come bring that level of play that he did last year with the Saints right off the bat. And if he can, I think it's going to be special. And I got to tip my hat. I teased this title a little bit on Twitter, and Jason Hurley and Michael D both said Isaac Yotam. So we were on the same wavelength. Just want to give credit where credit is due. And Yotam's number 29 on my roster countdown this year. I think that dude's going to be playing a lot.
Especially
I don't know.
Early, right? Especially early. That's why they brought him in here. And that's what the Niners did, right? They went and they got free agent vets that they feel could come in, fulfill the role, and kind of be a little pastime to see what these rookies, you know, come up to. And if they're playing very well, then the Niners know that the rookies will still be able to develop, and they got depth at that spot, but they'll let the veterans rock out, right? And so I actually like that pick. I'm just a little nervous though, because he played outside predominantly in New Orleans when he was called in to play, and he dominated on the outside. Now, does that mean it's going to translate to the inside? Because that's
well,
not
he
easy.
Played outside. He was the starting corner for all of OTAs and minicamp outside. So,
you're
like
about Yotam, right?
Yeah, he was taking the Charvarius Ward role, so I think he's going to stay outside. They said he could play both.
So you're saying move Lenore to the inside.
Just on nickel, just like they were just doing at the end of last year.
Say less. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I got you now. I didn't know if you meant, because you said number three, and he would be the number three cornerback, right? But I'm thinking three nickel. My bad. I got you.
Right. And it's weird because most teams don't do this. There are very few teams do this in the NFL, but we have already experienced that a little bit. And again, I keep going back to this. Our new DC, Nick Sorensen, what position has he coached for the last
DBs.
Several years? Nickels yeah. and DBs.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it's going to be. Mark agrees with me there. So
I agree with you now, too. Now that I understand what you're saying, that makes perfect sense. Keep him outside. Boom, boom, boom. Now you got two locks out there. It's going to be crazy. And I really love D'Amadora Lenore at the nickel spot. Like, I feel like he excels very well there. So this is going to be interesting. I think the defense is stacked. I think the depth is there. And I think those are really two good sleepers that we gave on the defensive side. So no one's going to like my offensive. I got an offensive player. Like, I decided to go on the offensive side. What's going on, Victoria?
She's watching down in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Vallarta. She's in Mexico. She's in Mexico.
Dude, I love it down there, man.
Yeah. That's a good place to
Jealous.
Be. I'm going to go with the offensive side. I'm going to go with the person that a lot of people don't like anymore. I don't know why, but I mean, I do know why. But dang, like, give the guy a break. No pun intended. John, can you just take a quick whiff of who I'm going with on the offensive side?
If it's people you don't like, I mean, here's the ones that I feel like people are kind of all the offensive linemen not named Trent Williams. am I close?
No, but that would have been an easy dead giveaway.
Are you going Debo? Or no, you're going with a running back.
Yes, I am going with a running back.
You're going with Mitchell.
I'm going with Elijah Mitchell. Shout out to Oscar. He put it out there, too. I'm going with Elijah Mitchell. Listen, I'm telling you, I think they're sleeping on him because he was asleep for the past two seasons, literally. And I feel like this is it. This is contract year. The Niners didn't move on from him. They could still probably try to trade him midseason or whatever if they feel the need. But I can tell you right now, if he comes in hot to trot, hot off the press, injury-free, no pain – remember what we saw in 2022? Remember what we saw in 2022 and that playoff run? And remember, he didn't play in the freaking Eagles game because he injury, right? If he could come in here and be healthy, the Niners would have a crazy, a killer combination at the running back. And I know everybody loves Jordan Mason. I get it. But it's something
this
about Elijah.
Next year.
Yes. We can explain that later, but his year will be next year. John is on point, right? Because this is Elijah Mitchell's last year. Kyle's developed trust with him, and there's something about Kyle trusting players at certain positions, and he does not move on from them until they can't do it anymore. Literally, he has to not be able to walk, like literally, like to not play in Kyle's system. Just ask me what he did with Jalen Hurd. He was here to the last final hour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, the only time I remember, I think it was the Steelers. or maybe it was the Rams whenever he had that like 60-yard run but didn't score a touchdown, and they brought in Jordan Mason to score the touchdown.
Yes.
CFC was pissed at the press conference.
He was pissed. He was pissed. Took me off the field. I didn't want to come out of the game. You know what I'm saying?
But and you know, I do love
I'm happy
it with
for
Kyle.
Mason.
Yeah. He's like talking through therapy. Let's talk through your feelings, CMC. How do you really feel about sharing the ball? My ball. But Kyle always says, like, CMC will never come out of the game. We have to force him, and then he's going to bite my head off. Like, that's just who he is. But I think this relationship of Kyle and CMC, and I like this question or this comment from Eric. I wonder if Kyle would give any other running backs besides CMC enough carries to be a sleeper. There's room. I do not care. Like, there is room for more carries. Now, my question is, I always bet on players in contract years. Okay.
Right.
This is Elijah Mitchell's last year. He's never played in more than 11 games in a year.
This is
all
it.
He has to do is stay healthy.
You getting 15, 16 this year, baby.
I think it's happening.
And to answer Eric's question, or thought or comment, absolutely. Like, you got to think and go back to when Kyle thought Mitchell was healthy after the year he hurt his knee in Chicago, right? That's the year we got CMC. And he thought Mitchell was healthy.
It was a one play after Trey Lance. And Trey Lance got hurt, slapped his leg.
Bang.
One play later, Elijah Mitchell's knee goes.
Bro, I'm trying to tell you, man, when you look
at some things.
Right. When you look at what Kyle is thinking, it was like a killer combination. And remember that Arizona game? Were we in Mexico? We were in Mexico. Remember that game?
So fun,
and it was like CMC went off in the first half and Mitchell came in the second half. We were like, oh, shoot, you got a red dot on your head too. Like, it was bang, bang. Like, that is what Kyle is hoping he gets from when Mitchell is healthy. Plus, you got to go to the trust factor. And I think it came down to trusting these running backs. If you go through the running back's depth, look at who Kyle's going to trust. Is it Jordan Mason? No. Is it Isaac Rendo? Hell to the no. Is it Patrick Taylor, the guy that they got the free agent? Hell no. We don't even know him. And so it's Cody Schrader. He may not make the roster. So when you look at it, Kyle Juszczyk is a guy, but he's not the running back. So it's going to come down. It comes down to that trust factor, man. And I think he does that with Mitchell. And I'm getting super excited, but he does that with Mitchell.
And the depth is huge. Man, Kyle remembers having 5 running backs get injured in the preseason. Like, that happened recently.
Oh, shoot, that did happen.
And so, Thomas right here, he talks about the Shanahan loyalty program I always bring up. Elijah Mitchell's on it, man. Elijah Mitchell is on it.
There are certain players that are on that loyalty program. You know what it is? You know what it is, Thomas? I'm glad you put that out there. You know what it is? You got to go back to Elijah Mitchell's rookie year when Mostert got injured during training camp, and Elijah Mitchell was like, don't worry, coach, I got this. And then he played injured that whole season, too.
I want to look at I want to look at that.
He almost had 1,000 yards. Like, he literally had 900-something yards that year. He was almost a 1,000-yard runner his rookie season. I think that is with the trust. That's where the trust came in. He didn't
listen
fumble the
to
ball.
All the running backs. This was in 2021, Elijah Mitchell's rookie year. This is when everybody got hurt, okay? Here's the running back depth chart. Raheem Mostert, Trey Sermon, Jeff Wilson, Jacquez Patrick, Kerryon Johnson, Brian Hill, Jamichael Hasty, Trenton Cannon.
Bro.
We had to go through that.
Bro.
And all of them got hurt almost.
All of them. And even Mitchell was banged up. Remember?
Yeah. That's whenever he only played 11 games. That was his most, his rookie year. He was
That's
a seventh-round pick, and he played 11 games. I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101? You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy.
It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But yeah, you talked about the stats that year. I want to look. How did he do? Did he lead the team? He led the team in rushing, 963 yards.
Boo, bro, he was almost at a G note. I'm trying to tell you, he had a stack.
4.7 yards per carry.
That's Kyle Shanahan. That's Kyle Shanahan. That's what he looks for. I'm trying to tell you, man. If he comes in healthy, and a healthy train, if he has a healthy training camp, Christian McCaffrey will get relief, and Kyle Shanahan would get back to what he gets back to. I really do. It was really dope watching that trade-off. First half, McCaffrey. And then what happened was, like, it was like, oh, shoot, we can't stop Elijah Mitchell. So when you threw McCaffrey back in there, those are the two running back sets I want to see. I want no fullback out there. Put them two out there with Deebo Samuel. Now pick your poison.
Oh, right here, Elijah Mitchell has never fumbled? Is that?
Nope. That's a fact, Jack.
That is facts.
That's a fact, Jack. Where's my ding ding? Pause.
Ooh, Eric coming through with the clutch, man. I love it. Now, before I give my last sleeper, I want to know everybody else's. So if you've been watching, I've been tagging a bunch of people that have been, you know, throwing this in. We'll go through some people y'all brought up here in a second. So who's your sleeper? Somebody that's not getting as much attention or coverage that you think is going to have a positive impact on this year. So throw those out there. My number two, I'm going to the offensive side as well. I'm going with a tight end two. Ooh. And right here, Logan, he says tight ends behind George Kittle can all be considered slippery. I'm going Eric Saubert. That's my number two. I think he's going to play.
You think he's going to be over Logan Thomas?
I think they are 2A, 2B. Yes. I think they are two people that make up the true tight end two, and Eric Saubert is going to be
the Warner.
The Warner role. He's a run blocking guy. 52% of his snaps for his career have all been in run blocking, which is weird because most teams throw about 60 to 65% of the time. Well, now he's on a team that throws more than almost anybody else in the NFL, or that runs more than almost anybody else in the NFL. Now, I went back and looked at the draft. Eric Saubert. He was drafted the fifth round of 2017. Mm-hmm. Do you know another tight end that
George
was drafted
Kittle.
The fifth round?
Yeah, this is beautiful work right here. Listen, go ahead, because I gotta cap this off. This is so dope.
I love this.
I know where you're going.
I'm looking through it, and guess what team drafted Eric Saubert in 2017? It was the Atlanta Falcons. Guess which team Shanahan just left? The Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons.
I just like with Adam Peters drafted so many guys that the 49ers were fits and whatever else. It was the same thing. Now, Kittle went before Eric Saubert in the fifth round that year, but I guarantee you he was on the Niners board. And they, again, that loyalty program, Shanahan loyalty program, this is somebody that they've watched for a while that fits what Kyle wants to do. He's got 1,400 career special team snaps. This dude's got a huge guarantee. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be on this roster, and it's somebody that Kyle can trust because he's done it so much. Now, cap it off for me, Wayne. Bring it home. John Wayne
it's,
Show. John Wayne Show.
It's the Kyle Shanahan special, right? And so when you look at Kyle Shanahan's team, when free agency hits, it's going into his eighth season, he's literally going back and getting players that were on his draft board, that were on their draft board at the time. There's a bunch of players on this roster, that Christian McCaffrey being one of them. They couldn't take the luxury pick and drafting a running back because they needed to build in the trenches, and then they found a way to trade and get their pick from that particular draft, right? And that's
Rocky Sin, Jordan Elliott.
You could keep naming them. I'm trying to tell you, these are guys that were on their big board, right? And so Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch doing a hell of a job as they enter their eighth season, you know. And you know, I'm here. I'm all about that life. I think we got some sleepers. And see, there's a question out there that says, well, how can two starters be sleepers? Well, when you lose your starting role, that means you're no longer getting the reps as a starter. And then for me, when you look at Elijah Mitchell, would he be starting with a different team? Possibly, depending on his health. This is a guy that just couldn't figure out. His body didn't heal properly or right. And so he's a sleeper. And so if you could get, let's say you get 400 or 500 yards from Elijah Mitchell. Let's just say you get that. That's a huge bonus. Because if you look up the rushing yards, because you're quick at this, it was Christian McCaffrey, and it was still Elijah Mitchell. But what did Elijah Mitchell contribute injured? I'm curious to know that.
Yeah, so the total yards there, as far as just rushing goes, CMC had 1,449, right? 1,459, 5.4 yards per carry. Elijah Mitchell, 281, 3.7 yards per carry. He got a little bit of trash time carries, but... yeah, it's the worst he's had his whole career. It's only 3-year sample size. Now, I will say this, throw a monkey in the wrench. Jordan Mason, 206.
Oh, his yards per carry is up to
yards per carry.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Like I said, it comes down to trust. And then he said that he was talking about Jair Brown and Juwan Jennings. I didn't know. I just wanted to put some, you know.
I like it. I like it.
I like those guys too, by the way. I think Juwan Jennings. I love Juwan Jennings because if you go back to that year he was drafted in the 7th round and then you go back to him being cut the same year and then you go back to him getting signed to the practice squad and just fast forward to a 2-year deal, like going from restricted to now a regular 2-year guy, which will be unrestricted free agent. That's a story. That's dope.
Generational wealth, man, after being cut.
That's dope, yo. Now, what will his role be? It need to be the same damn thing as Ben. Don't add, don't change, don't shift nothing. So let Juwan Jennings go out there, let him line up in the slot as a big mother trucker, and let him go out there and do what he's been doing. And Juwan Jennings gives us that production, and we've seen it in regular games. What we saw in the Super Bowl, we saw sporadically in regular games where he was able to take over. It comes down to how they defend and match up. If you're going to double Brandon Ayuk or bracket him and bracket Debo and deal with Christian, Juwan has to cook. And he proved it. He proved that he could.
I will say he's got some NBA jam to him. Like, whatever he's on, he's on. And whatever he struggles a little bit, he struggles a little bit. Yeah. So some games he will have a drop early, and it's like, uh-oh. But whenever he's on, he's heated up. Like, just...
He's
Juwan.
On fire. Hold on.
He's on fire.
Oh,
you
fire.
Have it? You
that
have it?
Dang right.
He's heating up. He's on fire.
Tell Dude. Me that's not classic.
I just see the big head jumping from the half court line with the ball cradled down low. Kaboosh. You know what I'm talking about? Like
that was one of the greatest freaking arcade version games of all time. Like, if I had the money, I would just get the arcade version, like the big arcade version, because that was the game.
Early on, it was I hate to say this, the Supersonics. I was a Sean Kemp guy.
Oh,
dunks
yes.
were off the charts. Yeah,
Gary Payton were dope.
With the super swipe. You do the super swipe. You
Heck
hit
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then you bring in deadlift, whatever. Oh.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm just saying. You got to get me going, man. We're 90s babies. It's just what it is.
It's what it is.
We ain't got nothing. Now, I do want to update just everybody real quick. We are going to have our Zoom hangout meeting this Thursday, 5:30. p.m. Pacific time. So come join us. That's been posted on the49ersrush.com. It's been posted on our Patreon as well. So this Thursday, the 27th at 5:30, we're going to have our Zoom hangout session. So come have a good time with that. Now I want to jump into a lot of these questions or comments about who y'all think are going to be sleepers. And I got to start with Hugo. Micah Parsons, Debo's son, always sleeping on the job. A plus comment. I respect that one.
Debo got a few sons in the NFL, right? One retired.
Why do people talk trash to him? Why?
I just want them to keep doing it.
His worst game of his career was in the Super Bowl. Nobody said a word.
They were smart.
After.
Because Andy Reid is a smart mother trucker.
It is. Just don't talk trash to Debo. Like, don't do that. I don't know. I'll let you take this one from Bobo.
Okay, Bobo. Hopefully, the sleepy Drake Jackson finally wakes up and has a breakout year into the Pro Bowl. So I was going to pick him as my sleeper, Bobo, for real, 100%. The only question mark that I had about Drake Jackson was, is he going to start the season off on the PUP? And so, like, I don't know how he's returning from the injury. You know how the Niners like to play with stuff. They play with these things a little bit. So that was the only reason why I didn't pick him. But I think when given the opportunity, I think Drake Jackson is going to show the world why he was a second round pick, and he's going to pan out for the San Francisco 49ers. But it's going to be hard because when you look at the depth, you got Uter Gross-Matos now, and Robert Bill Jr., I think, is no sleeper. I think he's going to come out and ball out, right? So you got some of these young dogs that they filled the roster up with as well. He's got to come out there. But I think if he's given the opportunity, he's going to definitely do his daggone thing.
Let me ask you this. If I set the over-under of Drake sacks at 3.5 this year on the season, would you
over-under? That's dope. I'm going over, though.
You're going over?
Absolutely.
Last year, he just had the three, right?
He just had the three. But he only played that game.
It was in game one. It was
that's my point. That's my point. If you can let Drake Jackson, if Drake Jackson is healthy, he's got his man body now. I know that sounds crazy, so pause. But he's got that going for him. He's got the experience. He's got the moves. He always had the bend. He's got the athleticism. He could bat the ball down the line of scrimmage. It's consistency and staying healthy and getting out there.
He can't. The last couple games and health could have been the issue, but he was on the ground more plays than he was out there for like 22 snaps.
I hate the way you watch film because it's here.
Here's what I would do whenever I coach. My first coaching job was coaching D-line, and we would go through film and I'd print out a sheet and they would have to grade their play. And they would have to grade anytime one of the defensive linemen fell, one of their guys in the room. You had to count that. You got to count it. You don't play football on the ground.
He plays wild. He's a little wild. He's got to be disciplined. It's not like he's getting pancaked all the time. He just played different. But that difference can be what makes him productive.
You went through the things he's got. You're 100% correct.
Like they're there, but you know what was tough for Drake? Remember in college at USC, he was misbuilt. Miscoached. Like the dude, they made him gain weight. They made him lose weight. They put him on the end. They put him inside. Dude, they. You know what? They freaking Solomon Thomas'd him.
Yeah, they did.
In college, though.
There's only one thing he could do right now. That's rush the passer.
That's it. He ain't stopping the run. He ain't containing the run. That ain't him yet. Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see. Vince, he says defensive tackle is a position that worries me. Same. But Collins, I ain't worried about Collins. Malik Collins, I am not concerned about him. I'm not too concerned about Jordan Elliott. I'm not too concerned about I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too.
I think Javon Hargrave has his most improved player this year.
Yeah. He better be.
he costs us a pretty penny. Mark says Leonard Floyd could be a deep sleeper. I don't think Leonard Floyd is a sleeper.
No, I don't.
I think he's going to come in and do exactly what he's consistently been doing. But you know what, Mark? Will the system change him a bit? Would the system slow him down a bit? Like, that's the question. What will Frisco Sarek be asking his guys to do? Or maybe Nick Sorensen, what will he be asking his defensive front to do? Because if they're back to kind of like what D'Amico was doing, then yes, he's going to be a problem. But if not, that's going to be the question. That's the question.
You know, I know we always judge, especially edge rushers, by sacks and quarterback hits. Here's what I want from Leonard Floyd. Just be able to stop the run opposite of Bosa. And teams, when they play the Niners the past few years, you know, when Cleveland Farrell was in, you didn't have to worry about anything. When Sanson Epicom was in, you didn't have to worry about anything. Everybody else, people would just run right outside. No problem.
Good point. Good point.
So if we could limit that,
good point.
That's what I want. Everybody talks sacks, and sacks are a huge deal. But Leonard Floyd, if we could just be disciplined in the run game. Talk about a deep sleeper. Oscar, my man.
Taylor says, Hawkins.
Hashtag BB. Hawkins. Will he do something this year? He got one game, got a pick,
safety.
Broke his arm or wrist right afterwards. It might be a little bit of competition for safety if maybe Hufanga can't go early. Do you trust the rookie?
Do you put Malik? Does George Odom take strides?
They've been talking about Odom.
I know. I don't know why. I mean,
safety.
I know people watch the show. I know they watch. I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying.
It's been bad whenever he's been out there.
It's been bad.
I would
leave it at that. But he's needed on the team because, God forbid, something go down. We need him out there. Like, you know what I mean? And then on special teams, like, you know what's funny? The 49ers special teams are literally like A+. And I know that's hard for people to grasp. But it's when we start pulling them guys off to play defense and offense, then the special teams go to like a D+. Just pay attention. That's what happens.
And I do have to say, a shout out to Malik Mustafa's birthday. I know that because I follow Z-Wayne Breezy on Twitter, which is where I get all of this information from, as you should as well. You're the fastest damn person.
I don't understand. I'm so slow because I'm on the East Coast. Like, I feel like it comes out quicker here because we're ahead of the future.
I guess so. Maybe that's what it is. You got a DeLorean.
Reason, I'm on y'all time. It's weird.
You quick. Oh, here we go. This was your guy last year, Logan.
He's still my guy. He's still my guy.
I thought he was going to be in that Isaac Yiadom spot, but now him and Yiadom are like, no.
They're fighting for outside. Listen.
I know.
Every time you say Yiadom, I don't know why.
I think Yiadom is outside.
No, right. Me too. Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm going to see it that you see it the same way I see it from now on. I won't mention Nickel again. Right. Yeah, they fighting. I think they're fighting. I think Nick Sorensen has. I think he has an affinity of this for this kid. There's something about Darrell Luter Jr. that I like. Darrell Luter Jr. is a dog.
Yeah.
He's gonna fight. He's gonna scrap every single play, on the outside. And good luck getting position on him. Now the question is he healthy? We got to ask that question because he was hurt last year.
Yeah, he's hurt the year. His rookie year,
and
too.
He's handsy. Well, that was, yeah, and he's handsy. That's the issue.
It was his rookie year.
You
remember when they asked Charvarius Ward, what do you think about the rookie Darrell Luter? He goes, who?
Who?
I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is because he got injured. And so he hasn't been out there. But
right.
I will tell you this. Charvarius Ward will talk trash. He gets a rookie quarter every chance.
Every single time. He's supposed to.
I love it.
But who, he's who supposed did? To. He's supposed to.
He didn't know Renardo's name.
Y'all was about to say the same thing. He did it this year. Oh, who? You know? Green? Like, you got it.
Is that his name? Do I have that clip? I'm trying to look for it.
Bro, like, when I tell you, and I'm not mad at Mooney, like, I
know.
I love it. Like, you ain't taking my job. I don't know. Good luck.
You take somebody else's. I don't think I have it. Dang.
That
it.
Was funny. Green? Who green? Who green? Who's green?
Oh, here it is. Yeah, the rookie. I found it. Upload it.
Play that
so, like, because back-to-back years, like, and again, you got to remember, Charvarius Ward was an undrafted free agent.
Yes, yes.
That got
Dallas
traded.
Cowboys. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Traded to the Chiefs during training camp. Like, mm-hmm.
he
wasn't going to make the roster
by the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. And then started in their Super Bowl that same year to be
and
the
got a ring, right?
Yeah. Here's Charvarius Ward.
I haven't been with him too much because I've been rehabbing, but just watching film. I think Renardo, that's his name, right? Renardo. I didn't know if it was Ronaldo or Ricardo, but I know he can play. I know he can play just by, like, watching film. He's super sticky in coverage. I think he's smart. Once he get a little more reps under his belt, I think he's going to be a baller for us.
Oh, my gosh. Ricardo?
Ronaldo?
He's smiling.
I didn't know
if he didn't
Ronaldo
have the smile, you'd be like, Ricardo. Oh, that's an honest mistake.
That's his name, right? Wait. That's his name, right?
Dude, there's like six people in that cornerback room, man. Nah, there's
It's a deep room. It's a deep room. Camp, cornerbacks, receivers. It's going to be the best camp ever. Whew.
Dude, have me rolling, man. Oh, it's so great. That's his name, right?
I'm sorry.
That's his name, right? I know. That's what we got to start saying.
That's his name, right? Matter of fact, I'm going to put that. Yes. That's his name, right?
Eric, he says Danny Gray. Is he dud?
Nah, I don't think he is, man. I think when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, it's all about the stash, man. You know, it's cool to have players you can stash. And I think he was drafted for a reason, and our reason is taking the top off the defense. You know what I'm saying? And it was for that Trey Lance rocket arm. Well, you know what? Brock proved he could throw the ball down the field as well. And I'm with Danson right here, right? He's proven he can get the ball down the field deep. Danny Gray struggled with injuries last year. I think it was by design. And the camp is going to be ridiculous. I don't know. There's only six spots that I think Kyle Shanahan utilizes. And some people may feel that's too many. People might want him to go with five, right? Take the extra lineman. But I think he goes with one less lineman and takes one extra wide receiver. So I don't know, though, who will be that sixth guy, because I don't think Ronnie Bell is a scratch off either. Like, so it's going to be crazy hard to see what happens.
I agree.
You know,
I mean, you add in two rookies to a wide receiver room where everybody came back. You didn't lose anybody.
Nobody.
You lost
then they
Ray
brought
Ray,
back
but...
Chris Conley, and then they brought back Trent Taylor. Like, and I'm not saying that these guys won't make the roster, but I think they're more practice squad stash veteran type dudes that, you know, you can kind of work your magic with due to the rules of the CBA. It's just weird.
Look at this. We got Yacek, my man.
So he was on my sleeper list too, but I just felt like Moody got all the attention last year, and I want one year where he gets zero attention. Same. Like y'all were giving me anxiety about, oh, that's Breezy's guy. He done missed the kick. I was like, dang, Moody, just you know, just close your eyes, bro. See if it go in or something, like, because it was rough, man. I defended him every mother freaking chance, though. Hey, Jake, I'm your man. Go blue. Now let's get it for the red and gold, baby.
There we go. Now, okay, let's stick with this. Michigan. I got to give a shout out to Greg C. You know, we're doing our 91-man roster countdown series. Drake Nugent came in number 66, the Michigan center, undrafted free agent. And we did the whole episode. It was awesome. But I missed a huge piece of the puzzle. So I want to say thank you to Greg C. I didn't know this. I don't know if you knew this. Drake's father, Drake Nugent's dad, was the quarterback for Colorado State in 1981 to 1983. And guess who his center was? Chris Forster.
Chris Forster.
I didn't know this.
That's the connection.
Chris Forster became a GA, then O-line coach, while Drake's father was the quarterback. So he played with them. He GA'd there and coached while his father was the quarterback at Colorado State. And I missed that back in 81 to 83. So I was hoping
I didn't
also
know
just,
that. But that's the connection. We always try to put the connections and put the puzzle pieces together, and there you go. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the connection. And, you know, because a lot of people are like, well, like, why didn't he get drafted? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, he had a phenomenal senior year at Michigan. I mean, he was on one of the best offensive lines in football. And I'm sorry, you go with the team that runs the ball really well, right? And they ran the ball very well. And so, is he undersized? Yes.
Yeah.
And that's his biggest thing, but he's a natural center. So remember when Jason Poe was here and he was undersized, but we were trying to convert him to that center or whatever, because he couldn't do it.
He got stuck at guard.
Yo, I think, you know, when you look at Drake Nugent, naturally he can give you reps at center. Will he make this roster? It's a long shot, man. Like,
it's a lot of centers,
man. And they're undrafted, you know. And so, like, I believe, though, he'll have an opportunity because he plays the position well. Like, he knows the position. He's a smart kid, knows the position well. Only played 1 year at Michigan, but that year he played, helped that offensive line. After one of their best offensive linemen, Zach Zinner, goes down, and they still continue to pound the rock. Yeah. I'm just saying, man.
My favorite thing about him is just how consistent Drake Nugent's tape was.
That's what I'm saying. He's undersized.
He's small.
That's what I'm saying. And zone running too, and then power running. Like, it's the perfect fit for Chris Forrester. Chris Forrester knows what he's doing. I feel like I'm talking like Chris Forrester. I just think, because I could talk a lot too. I just think that we gotta let. You see what I did there? That's Chris Forrester. I just think you just gotta, you know, let him take his guys and do what they do, because I think Spencer Burford is going to show up and do something about not trying to lose a spot, you know? And so I think the offensive line competition, believe it or not, is going unnoticed. I think there's going to be a lot of competition on that 49ers offensive line, bro.
Yeah, I remember.
Nick Sakel's still here.
They drafted one offensive lineman in the last 2 years combined. Like, they love their depth. I know everybody else doesn't. So, like, I think for Drake Nugent, it's learn a year, then step into maybe that Ben Bartsch role, you know, Ooh. Or something like that. And if you can keep him on practice squad, like, I think he's a year out. Let him learn a little.
Yes, yes.
So, right, I like it. That's fun talk. This has been good. Now, let's transition to our NFC positional ranks. We've got offensive line. Let's stick with it. We're doing offensive tackles together. Then we're doing interior offensive line together. But before we do, just a couple quick announcements. Number one, if you want to win tickets to see the Jets at 49ers, club-level seats or better, between the 20s, we're giving away two tickets. All you got to do is go to the 49ersrush.com, or you can click the link in this video. It takes you right there. It's $20 per entry, or you can get three entries for $50 if you want the extra value. And then on top of that, we got the 49ers Rush road trip this year, the five games we're going to be doing at Minnesota, at Seattle, at Tampa Bay, at Buffalo, at the Cardinals. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. We got parties the night before. We got tailgates the day of. You know what we do. We've been doing this a long time. It's weird.
Yeah.
I always meet people and they're like, what do you do? And I always like, oh, like, I talk football. I'm a little kid. And sometimes I go out drinking and having good food. That's really what it is. But
tacos, baby. Load them up.
I love them. All right. Wayne, let's jump to our NFC West rankings. And if you've missed, you know, our previous ones, we've done the entire defense. We did special teams. Now we're jumping to the offensive side. So here's how this works. I'm going to go through and break down these teams. Wayne to give his synopsis. I'm going to list you the starters. So we're starting offensive tackles. I'm going to list you their two projected starters, who their backups are, and who the youth development are. This is judging the whole room. Then we'll rank the top three players across the division at each position. Then we'll rank the entire team unit groups. 1 through 4, 1 being the best, and we'll see where we go and where we disagree and all that fun stuff. So let's start with Arizona. We'll go in alphabetical order, okay? Two starters for Arizona, Paris Johnson Jr., who they traded back for last year, and Jonah Williams, who they pulled over from Cincinnati. Their backups, Kelvin Beachum, been in the league forever, and they got Christian Jones, one of my favorite tackles from the University of Texas, in the 5th round. So what do you think of this Arizona Cardinals offensive tackle group?
I think they're pretty stout. Believe it or not, I think Kyler Murray is going to benefit from having a pretty stout offensive line. You know, when you look at their starting just the tackles themselves, I think they're going to be pretty good. And then when you go to the backup, you got a veteran back there that's been there and that's played there, and so that's key. Like, the key is having the perfect depth. God forbid something happens, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it's hard because, like, when you look at our team's offensive line, we don't think that they're that great. And I think we have some great players on our offensive line when they play together and they play the right way. So when it comes to Arizona, I think their offensive line is pretty good. Kyler Murray does help the offensive line out a bit with his mobility, being able to get out of the pocket. And those guys don't get a lot of penalties, which is great, right? And so, like, we're not talking about penalties, but that's part of an offensive line. Like, especially when your quarterback moves around, you don't know what the hell is going on because you're up the field. That's key. So I think their offensive line is pretty good. I'm not even going to stunt. And I love You know I love Christian Jones. I thought the Niners could have got him in the fourth, fifth round, or whatever. Unfortunately, they didn't. Texas, that was one of the kids that I liked coming in out of the draft this year.
All right, let's go over to the Rams. Stick in alphabetical order. Rob Havenstein and Alaric Jackson. Now, they moved Joe Noteboom back, who was a starter. So now they've got the veteran kind of swing tackle with Warren McClendon Jr. He came out last year. They draft KT Levinston in the seventh, and they got Logan Bruss as well. Man, the Rams have completely redone their offensive line the past 3 years.
They have, and the question is how cohesive will this offensive line play this year? But again, it starts with that, for me, like the depth. And so, like, when you look at guys that have been efficient on the offensive line and now they're moving back and they're going with younger guys that probably can go out there and get the job done, you could tell that they're looking to run the ball and run the ball very well with their running backs. They got Kyren Williams. They got Blake Corum. So they're going to be looking to do outside zone, inside zone. Sounds familiar? Like inside power, outside zone. Yep. Sounds familiar, right? I wonder where Sean McVay got that from. So they're looking to do the same exact thing with Blake Corum and Kyren Williams. And so their offensive line is pretty good, especially in the run game. I know we don't really talk about the offensive lines in the run game a lot, but, yo, look at what Kyren Williams did last year. Just go look him up. Like, he was dope when he was healthy. Yeah,
probably second-best running back in the NFL last year, to be honest.
Could have been. He's very Christian McCaffrey-esque. Very Christian McCaffrey-esque. Good pass catching back out of the backfield. And that comes to having a great offensive line. Matthew Stafford gets the ball out of his hands really quickly, and then the offensive line gets out in space and moves. So they sound very familiar, and that's why the shifting of that offensive line is taking place. They're trying to replicate something that they've seen before.
I love that you said, did you watch the Rams? Like, you know how they released the draft breakdown stuff and behind the scenes? They tried to trade up for Brock Bowers.
Bro,
like, you talk about replicating,
they're trying to replicate what they don't have. A tight end,
they don't,
no one has a tight end. Like,
they have
Hype
B. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's,
yeah, yeah,
maybe. I don't know. I'd put LaPorta, I like TJ Hockenson and Dallas Goedert. I think those are like the closest versions.
Love them, love those three. Those are top of my fantasy top guys, right? Mm-hmm. Right, but I would take them in fantasy over George Kittle, though. It's too many weapons on the Niners.
Yeah, it's different.
He'll give you one game where he just balls out, you know. I love Corum. Like, I think he's...
Shocker. He's amazing. He's amazing. But
the dude...
Everybody
the dude,
loves him.
He's a midget, sorry. He's a little guy, and he's just tough. And he's just tough, and runs
again,
between the tackles.
I'll go back to, you know, the Rams behind the draft footage. You see Sean McVay talking in the second round. Like, there's no way Corum's going to be there in the third, right? There's no, like, and I know that they cut and pick things to make their guys look better and whatever else. But, like, this is somebody that the head coach McVay, who I think is one of the most improvisational coaching plays out there, loved this guy in the second round. And they got him in the third. It's a good fit. All right, let's go to the 49ers. Next, Trent Williams and Colton McKivitz. Those are the starters. Backups. I've got three veteran backup positions. Jalen Moore, Chris Hubbard, and Brandon Parker. Mm-hmm. No young developmental tackles in the thing. I don't think there's really one. They haven't spent any draft picks on tackle. There's nothing in the wings for the past 2 years. They are going veteran offensive tackles.
Yeah, the issue is when you say veteran, like, I'm thinking of guys, when I think of the word veteran, I'm thinking of when you look at Arizona, because there's only one definition of veteran, but when you look at Arizona and you look at the Rams, their veterans are former starters.
Yes.
And when you look at the Niners, their veterans are former backups.
Yeah.
Maybe Hubbard.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Jalen Moore has only started when Trent Williams gets hurt. He's the left tackle dude.
That's, yeah, but you know
and
what
then
I
Hubbard
mean.
And Parker are the guys that are, you know, fighting for that right tackle spot. But
right.
Both of them have played a considerable amount. But you're right. Not a lot of starts.
The question
58 starts for Chris Hubbard.
Yeah, that's why I said maybe Hubbard, right? Maybe Hubbard would be the guy. So like, hey man, look, the Niners got some veteranship, but listen, man, it's Trent Williams is the best damn tackle in the NFL. So it's gonna boost whoever is up on the opposite side, no matter what. And at the end of the day, I think Colt McKivitz even gets better because I think you fixed the other part of the right side. I think that to me was more of the issue. And we watch players overcompensate all the time.
Grade Colton McKivitz whenever he plays next to John Feliciano. That's a different thing than when he's next to Spencer Burford. And I like Burford, but last year was not his year.
Just, I'm glad you said it because somebody else needed to have said that.
I do like Burford, though.
I love Burford.
So does Forrester, by the way.
Absolutely.
He said he's the most talented guard we got.
But it is a few plays he just gets wrong. Like, that's
okay, last group here, Seattle Seahawks, Charles Cross, Abraham Lucas. This is year three they're moving forward since they both started
like
their rookie
offensive
year.
Line. I feel like they just don't do well on the offensive line.
No, they don't. George Fant, they bring in as the veteran option who's been there before. Stone Forsythe, all-name team. They have a six-round pick in Mike Jarrell, six-round pick in Satua Lamia, and Curtis McClendon. So they've got youth, and they've got one veteran guy that's played a lot, George Fant, but never been good. I don't know. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Yeah, I mean, their offensive line hasn't stuck out to me since the days when they were winning back in the mid-2000s, like to me. Like, their offensive line isn't what they particularly focus on for some reason. They're kind of like, you know, I just think that the offensive line is mid. Now, what they may do this year, who knows? But Seattle's offensive line doesn't scream anything that I would be afraid of. I feel like if you're a defensive front, you want to play this offensive line.
Yeah, I agree. It's been terrible. And their whole thing is just get the ball out.
Especially the tackles. Yeah.
Catch, throw. So we'll see if that changes because now we'll see. It's a whole different, it's a whole different offense. And they're trying to go vertical. We'll see how it goes. Now, let's rank the top three players. Regardless of teams, who's the number one tackle, number two tackle, number three? PFF, Trent's number one in the NFL. Rob Hevenstein is number 22 in the NFL. Nobody else is ranked in the top 40. This is not a top-level tackle division. What would you say, Wayne?
That's crazy because you would go Trent. You would go...
Huge gap after Trent.
I will go Galveston out of Los Angeles.
Rob Havenstein, yeah.
Havenstein, I'm sorry. And then maybe go, I like Paris Johnson.
I would too.
I really like the, why do I like Ohio State players when they go to the NFL? I don't know what it is.
I wasn't going to say it.
That's okay. I throw myself under the bus every single time. I know the Blue family, they be looking at me like I'm crazy, but it's different when you make it to the NFL. And I don't like him because he's a Cardinal, but there's something about the kid that I like.
Yeah, and Cross has been good. He has been bad, but so has Paris Johnson. And that's the thing about this whole conference. Abraham Lucas has been good and bad. Jonah Williams has the most up and down career ever, whenever he can stay healthy. Like, you could argue for probably five guys to be the number three. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So because
of
that.
You have Colton McKivitz on that list. I'm just curious.
He's.
How many tackles are there for PFF? And don't tell me where. Because Colt McKivitz is not up there. But how many tackles are there?
You mean you want the PFF grade?
Just how many? How many overall?
81.
Total?
81.
McKivitz is up there, right?
He's 47th.
Damn.
That's PFF. Chris Hubbard was 34th last year, by the way. Higher than him.
Is McKivitz the lowest ranked?
No.
Tackle?
Alaric,
43rd. From the NFC West, I'm sorry.
Paris Johnson was 57th. Jonah Williams, 59th.
Okay.
You get down to
McKivitz
Stone Forsythe was 60th.
I remember Forsythe. So it could be McKivitz. McKivitz could be number three.
You could say that.
Listen. I'm trying.
They're all the same. They're the same. There's that line. There's the line that
you
was talked
told
about.
Me, McKivitz. When you watch the film where he's lined up next to Feliciano, it's a different McKivitz. Maybe
it is different.
Those grades are what helped save him.
There's an argument that could be made for that. And it's not wrong. It's not wrong. So let's do this. Let's refocus. Let's rank these classes best to worst. Who has the best? Let's start at four. Or however
four
you want
to
break this down.
Four is Seattle. Four is the Seahawks to me.
Okay, Charles Cross, Abraham Lucas, you got them at four, okay? I got them at three, so oh, we're shoot. Close. We're close. That's okay. Your ranking is more important than mine.
I got at three, I'm going to go Arizona.
See, we got those switched, but I think those two were close because I thought the top two were close.
Yeah.
And so I think we agree on the
I'm
tiers.
Curious to know who your number one is, but I'm going to just say bump it. I'm going to go Rams 2, Niners 1.
I did the same thing. Trent
and
Williams
that's crazy
is
because it's just Trent.
It's Trent. I mean, we're not voting for this because of Colton McKivitz, but one of the things I do like the Niners on is that they do have so many veteran options behind the starters.
That's
Trent's
going
to miss a couple games. That's going to happen. An injury could happen, but I think the 49ers have chosen veteran backups to capitalize everywhere else. Cheap veteran backups. Colton McKivitz, cheap. Jalen Moore, cheap. Chris Hubbard, cheap. Brandon Parker, cheap. No draft capital. No salary cap capital. It's all going to Trent and then just everybody else.
Ah, none of those guys count in the top 51.
Yeah. McKivitz does, but nobody else, I don't think.
Wow, that's huge. But they're veterans, like you said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And McKivitz's cap hit isn't huge, so even though it counts, it's not a big number.
Right, exactly. All right, let's jump quickly. We're going long, so I'm going to go through this one quick. Interior offensive line, two guards at a center. I'm going to list them as such, guard, center, guard. Arizona, Will Hernandez. I always mess this guy's name. Hjalte Freudholt over from the Patriots. And Evan Brown, that's their starters. Elijah Wilkerson, Tristan Colon, backups. They spent a third-round pick on Isaiah Adams, who I really, really liked, and
Illinois,
John
right?
Ames. Yeah, Illinois. Fun player. That's Arizona's interior offensive lineman, Wayne.
I mean, they run the ball well. This is the toughest one to figure out. Because usually these guards is what helps these teams run the ball. Tackles help protect the quarterback. The guards is how well these teams move the ball for me. That's how I look at it. So I thought, and then they just added, they drafted Trey Benson as a running back too to be the 1-2 punch for James Conner.
Yeah, they got a good rotation. Tough runners.
They're going to be power football team. Will Hernandez is probably one of the most underrated. Dude, I love Will Hernandez.
He was fun coming out of UTEP, I think.
UTEP, then he went to the Giants, and you know, he just plays with a nasty streak. But I feel like we have our version. Like, that's what John Feliciano is. I like this group. I'm not even going to stunt. I do. But right now, they're ranked pretty up there.
All right, let's go to the Rams. Their starters, good Lord. Jonah Jackson, they paid out the wazoo to get him.
Dude,
Steve Avila, second-round pick last year.
They're going to be number one. You don't even have to go through this group. Just put
Kevin
them as
Dotson,
number one.
They spent a six-rounder on Bola Mew, who I love, the center out of Arkansas.
Can just put them at number one?
They're my number one.
I'm not
starters.
Trying to rank them yet, but we can just omit them. For the first time in my life, I'm going to put the Rams number one at something.
The one issue, they don't have depth.
They don't have the depth. No, that's a good point.
But that starters, I think, it's pretty good. Like, anyway, we'll get to it. All right, the 49ers, Aaron Banks, Jake Brindle, John Feliciano, backup Spencer Burford, Ben Bartsch. They spent a third-round pick on Dominic Pooney. They spent a sixth-round pick on Jarrett Kingston.
This is where they spent their draft capital, right? They decided we're going to get better, interior and moving. How many of these guys could get to the outside? We got to get back to the outside zone running. Niners ran the ball the best in the NFL. It's going to be hard to say that their guards are bad, but when protecting the quarterback, they weren't good. And as much as I love Aaron Banks, I think Aaron Banks has contract season. I think he has a Pro Bowl season. You know what I'm saying? What's going on, B? I think he has a Pro Bowl season. I think Aaron Banks in his final year, it kind of reminds me of what Lakin Tomlinson did his final year, and he became a Pro Bowler. I'm going on that trajectory. You know what I'm saying? As far as the right guard spot, I feel like it should be Feliciano's job. He's proven that he can come in here, and he's the guy you want running it, and let those two back battle it out, Pooney and Burford for the backup spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think Pooney, shout out to Lee, said, does Pooney have a realistic shot at starting right guard? Absolutely not.
No.
That's not what they do here. He's got a red shirt just like Aaron Banks did. He's going to step in next year because Feliciano, expiring contract. Burford, expiring contract. Barch, expiring contract. Banks, expiring contract. Like, everybody's finishing there. So he's got to step in. Same thing they're doing at the cornerback position, in my opinion. Last group, let's go to Seattle. Lakin Tomlinson, their starting left guard. We know him. Your boy.
He plays well when he's lined up next to Trent Williams, too, by the way.
There we go. He hasn't been good since he left. Oluwatimi, your center from Michigan, who I liked last year. Yeah. Anthony Bradford, those are their three starters. Nick Harris, Tremaine Ankrum Jr. They draft Christian Haynes in the third round out of UConn. Another
I
one
like
of your
Christian
guys.
Haynes, yeah.
Their
offensive line, it's young, and it's not figured out yet. And so I can't
they
rank
don't have
them.
One stable guy.
I can't
anywhere.
Rank it high. I can't rank them high. Now, what they go out and show and prove this year, then we can have this conversation. So right now, I hate to say it, but they're going to if everything works out in Seattle's favor, those guards are going to be a problem. Christian Haynes is a menace to society and football. I'm going to make sure I make that clear. Like, he's going to be a problem. A little bit on the shorter side, but he's not undersized. As far as height, he's undersized, but his weight is good. He moves guys. He moves mountains. I like this kid.
That's a good third-round pick.
Great third round pick. They lucked up there because I thought I had him going in the second round. But at the end of the day, John, I think they're just not proven yet. Like, you know what I mean? So they would end up being my number four. So I gave you my number one and my number four. The question is, who's 2 and 3?
2 and 3. Who's 2 and 3? And I got them close.
I think the Niners are 2 and the Cardinals are 3. I think that's the way I look at it. Do you have it flip-flopped?
Nope. No, I got it the same. And the big reason why I said is the experienced starters behind for the 49ers with the youth coming in twofold. Now, both teams spent a third-round pick on a guard, but the 49ers also spent a sixth-round pick. So I think the youth movement, the 49ers win, and I think the veteran movement behind the starters, the 49ers win. The better starters, I would probably say Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But the backups and the youth and all that stuff, that was just group, enough. But
the group together, the Niners win from the just from the group association. I like that. I like that. Wayne, at the end of the day, the sun goes down. It sure does. Unless you're in like Alaska, right?
Where oh, dude. It
doesn't superset.
I'm just saying. That's awesome.
Never been, though. Never been. Need to go to Alaska one day.
I like it, man. We've covered some ground.
Wow.
Next up, we've got your group. We got wide receivers and tight ends.
Ooh.
That's gonna be a fun one.
That's gonna be a tough one.
Just spoiler alert. Every single ranking, you know, other sites do, you know, whatever generic NFL, PFF, whatever. The 49ers have been number one in every single wide receiver rankings group in the NFL. I think from I've seen. I haven't seen anybody not have
so we're just going to put them number one. This is going to be a tough one, bro. I think
it's
the
a good conference.
I have to think the NC West conference. got some of the best damn wide receivers in the NFL.
I think Rams, Seattle, 49ers should be probably top six in all NFL wide receiver rankings.
This is tough. That's going to be tough. I mean, the Cardinals are unproven, but they got the best kid coming out of college, right? So it's going to be tough.
Yeah, but that's all they got. They got Wilson and Greg Dortch.
I like Michael Wilson, though. He cooked our behinds, boy. I tell you.
He's Michael, good.
The first game.
Take him or Juwan Jennings?
That's not...
we got. No, don't even answer. This is called a cliffhanger in the business. And this is, you got a week to think about this. You're not even going to be sleeping because you're going to be arguing with Michael Wilson and Juwan Jennings. But we're leaving it there. I want to take us out of the show. You guys are the best. Appreciate y'all. Go subscribe to The Wayne Breezy, wherever you watch. Get your content, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Y'all are the best. That's going to do it for us. Wayne, you're the best. Stay strong, faithful.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app.
Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.